You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Cole Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast when you're done with this one. Go and subscribe, rate that one, because that is a great place to get all of your NBA content, recent news from around the league. Find it right there in a digestible nugget that's getting to you every single day. Make sure to check it out. I apologize for the lateness of this episode. I had some family stuff that I had to deal with earlier today, kept me from getting to the podcast earlier today. So I apologize for the lateness, but that's why this is going up late. But hey, better late than never, right? Maybe you disagree, but that's the way it goes. That's life. All right, so we're going to get into it now. Now, I know that there was a couple games the other night, the Blazers and the Warriors. I also know that the Clippers are playing the Timberwolves tonight. That's all important stuff, but the Timberwolves have a situation with Jimmy Butler that's getting worse and worse. And I wanted to really dig into this, really dive into this today. And I wanted to really pick this apart today. So I'm going to break down trades that I think realistically the Timberwolves could pull off, maybe be interested in. And at the end of the show, I'll talk maybe for a second about the Clippers. But the bulk of this show is going to be about Jimmy Butler and actual solutions to this problem, because right now sitting and wallowing in this debacle is just no good for the Timberwolves. It's no good for anybody. He is, some games he's playing, some games he's not. He's kind of like that first couple of years when the parents are just getting used to the child becoming a teenager and they don't really know how to deal with the mood swings yet, and they don't really know what's going on with the kid. The kid doesn't want to really talk about his feelings, and he's going through all this puberty. The kid is going through all this puberty stuff. I know that it can be a confusing time, and there's this friction between the parent and the child. That's exactly what it feels like with Jimmy Butler and the Timberwolves. He knows that he hates the parent, and he knows that he wants to leave, but there's not really a clear out, it seems like, for both the parent in this situation and the child as far as an out. And right now they have to live under the same roof, and it's horrible and awkward, and there's no real seeming light at the end of the tunnel. So these are the lights that I'm hoping to find at some point at the end of this tunnel, which is the drama between Jimmy Butler and the Timberwolves. Again, there have been the rumors that the Rockets are still pushing. There have been rumors that Miami is still trying to get Butler, but the Timberwolves have staved these off pretty well. So I'm not saying that I've been talking to somebody and that these are for sure things. I'm just saying I've been running through the trade machine, and these are trades that not only work, but these are trades that I could see the Timberwolves potentially going for, as well as trades, why this would make sense. Why would the Timberwolves, I'm not just throwing out, oh, well, maybe they could trade for Klay Thompson. That's obviously not going to happen. I'm trying to throw out reasonable trades that the Timberwolves would go for because these pieces fit on a roster and that Jimmy Butler wouldn't balk at and wouldn't cause problems about, and trades that don't involve a ton of picks either. Because I think that if the one thing that's been apparent is that the Timberwolves and Tibbs are not going to jump at trades that involve a ton of picks. Tibbs, I feel like, sees the end of his time in Minnesota coming very soon. And so why would he make a trade? Why would he trade his best player for four first-round picks when he's not going to be able to pick the first of those four first-round picks with the Rockets? I know that kind of sucks if you're the Timberwolves fans and you just see all those picks and you say, okay, that seems to be a pretty solid option. Do that. Get him out of town. And the coach is thinking about his tenure there and how maybe he can still fight for his job and how he could at least make this season look good so that he can get that next job. But that's the way these things work. And so I'm not thinking about a ton of picks. I'm looking at the assets in these trades and what makes them appealing and how this gets pushed through because of those assets. So these, I have five trades here. I have five trades lined up, and we're going to go with two quantities that you know are kind of in the hunt, and then a team that you that has tried for Jimmy, and then some out-of-the-blue teams that I think could work. So let's go first with the teams you know are in the hunt for Jimmy Butler. Let's go with the Rockets, first of all. So obviously the Rockets have interest. I already went over why there can't be a lot of picks. So here's my trade for the Rockets that I think could work for both sides, because the Rockets need to shake something up. They desperately need perimeter defensive help. They desperately need somebody who's going to create turnovers, who's going to help that gap between what they had last year when they had Luke Mabamute and Trevor Ariza, and the gap and the team they have now. The defense is suffering, so they get Jimmy Butler. In return, the Timberwolves get Marquise Chris and Eric Gordon. Now, I know that the Rockets really don't want to trade Eric Gordon, but if you're throwing out all the picks and just saying, look, if your teams are just saying, look, I don't care about the picks. I want guys who are going to improve my roster right now. And we have a team that's shooting more threes. Our offense is incorporating more threes. We've got more depth to our offense, and we've got more spacing to our offense. Eric Gordon is going to fit in really nicely. We're going to get a shooting guard that really, really helps this roster, really helps play to some of the strengths that we're fleshing out of this roster. And then Marquise Chris, you've got a guy who, with that second unit, yeah, he's had his struggles with the Suns, but he's still a guy who could present some upside. He could be an interesting piece, and he's a stretchy guy. You're still getting a stretchy guy, somebody long, who can play alongside guys like Okogie, alongside guys like Derrick Rose, Wiggins. You can mix and match him with a couple different pieces, and he still fits in. He could still present some interesting creativity into the lineup. Those are two solid pieces, and like I said, for the Rockets, they're finally getting some defense that Luka and Trevor took with them in the offseason. So that's my first trade with the Rockets. My second trade, this one is with the Miami Heat. Again, forget about picks. I want guys, says Tibbs. Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow for Jimmy Butler. Now, I know this one, you're not getting as high of a value guy as you are in Eric Gordon. But Josh Richardson has been good. He's got a PER of 16.5. Justice Winslow has been getting better every single season. He's working on his offense. Both these guys are going to help with the defense. Now, here's the key. Both these guys, I think, are going to be big additions on the defensive side. I think they only marginally help the offense, but I think both those guys really help with the perimeter defense for the Timberwolves. And their offense has shown that even without Butler out there, they can still hum offensively and can still get to like 115 points offensively on a pretty regular basis without Jimmy Butler there. But their defense, you're going to be losing a big chunk of this. This is a trade where you're really helping out that defensive side of things. If you're the Timberwolves, you're getting some young pieces who can both appeal to the front office that's saying, well, we want to plan for the future, and Tibbs that's saying, I need guys who can help me now. These are young guys on pretty reasonable contracts. They're going to help your team now, and you can try and retain Winslow next season. And he's on a pretty reasonable deal. Even if you don't, he's on a pretty reasonable deal now, and you're getting Josh Richardson for a few years. So you're getting some young pieces who can help you now, and you could possibly help the future of this organization with. You're giving Miami a desperately needed star to fit in with all these role players that they have down there. Both of these sides win. I think Miami would definitely do this because they want to try and get into the bottom half of that playoff seeding for the East. And I think if you add a guy like Jimmy Butler on that roster with such a good head coach in Spoelstra, I think that they can become a playoff team if you throw Jimmy Butler in there. So it's appealing for both sides. Now, this third trade is going to be a team that was kind of in the hunt before. We haven't heard from them for a while because the Timberwolves asked for Ben Simmons back for Jimmy Butler, which is ridiculous. But I really like this trade for the Timberwolves. Now, Jimmy Butler sent to the 76ers. Timberwolves get back Robert Covington and Markelle Fultz. Now, I know that the Timberwolves have a lot of point guards already. But hear me on this one. First, Covington, obviously, he helps on the outside. 3-and-D guy, really long guy. You can play him with so many things that the Timberwolves do, so many lineups. You can throw him in there and have Wiggins. You can have Teague or Tyus Jones. You can have Towns. You can have Josh Okogie all out there, really spreading the floor, really spacing out the floor. You can throw him with the second unit. You can have him out there with Gorgie. You can have him out there with Derrick Rose. I think he plays well with that unit. I just think there's a lot of ways you can toss him into the lineup and have him be really successful. You can play him all over the place. He's going to help this team. And because they're more three-point centric, they're picking up the pace of these basketball games, I think he's really going to fit in well and easily with this team. Markel Fultz. Now, both these guys are on long-term. You're going to have them for a couple of years at least. So Markel Fultz, I know they have a lot of point guards, but if you look at what Fultz can do, he can play off of Simmons, who is the point guard of that team, and so much of the offense runs through him. You can kind of put him in this Derrick Rose-like role almost, where you have him, you can run the offense to him, or he's fine and comfortable just running to the rim, setting some screens, playing off of the ball handler, and you know that because of his basketball IQ, he's going to find spaces, he's going to find stuff. As a point guard, he knows what the point guard is going to be looking for so well. He can find some holes in opposing defenses. I think he'd really play well off of T and Rose. I think he'd really be good. And I think that if you had Fultz and Tyus Jones out there, I think that, or Derrick Rose even, I think that both those guys could play well off of Markel Fultz having the ball. And so I think that there's some really fun, creative stuff you could do with those lineups with Fultz there. And again, both those guys, you have Derrick Rose. He's going to be, you don't know if he's going to be on the team next year. He's on that one-year deal. You have Jeff Teague, who's in the second year of his three-year deal. You bring in Fultz. You add some security. You're not sure after next season or after this season what exactly the point guard position is going to look like. You bring in Fultz. He's going to be on you're going to be able to bring him in, and maybe you sign him to a bigger deal, but you have him at least for this season. You're adding another point guard to the mix. You can bring in some stability. And you can have some options going into next season. So, again, that's one of those things, young players. And then for Covington, you have him on a couple-year contract, so he's there. But for the Fultz side of it, it's another way that the Timberwolves can bring in and pitch this to not only Tibbs, but also to the front office saying, look, we're bringing in young guys. This guy's going to be on contract. This guy is super young. We can try and retain him. He's adding depth to the point guard position. We can play him off a bunch of different guys. He's a young guy. Keep him around. Then you're adding to the future, not only just playing him now, but he's a guy who can contribute now. So that's a trade. I actually really like this one. Of the five trades I have, this is probably my favorite. That one's a little off in the weeds. These ones are a little bit out of left field, but bear with me. Pelicans, Timberwolves. Again, Jimmy Butler gone. Timberwolves get Moore and Mirotić. Now, Mirotić, I think, really helps you because he is he's going to play kind of like a Taj Gibson, but he's so much better shooting the three ball. I really like this one because I think that he adds another layer to when you have a bunch of guys out there with Towns. Now, if you have, instead of just going, well, maybe we want to go small ball and have Towns out there, and then when Towns plays out to the three-point line, that kind of messes with teams who are trying to play with the small ball lineup. Now you throw two big guys out there, maybe even throw Taj out there. Now you're playing a little bit bigger, but now Towns and Mirotić can play out to the three-point line. How's the team going to defend that when they went big against you and you have two guys who actually shoot the three-ball really well from outside as big men? I think that could be really fun. Moore, I think, just adds some stretch to the offense, maybe helps you a little bit defensively. He gives you another piece, another layer in that bigger lineup. He can play a little longer, but he's also can play that guard spot. Just some versatility there. Really, Mirotić, I think, is the one who really adds some fun dynamic to this offense. And I think that could help potentially with some defense as well. And then you're really playing Taj Gibson in some key spots, really saving him for some specific matchups against specific teams. I like this one. This one is kind of out of left field, though. And then we're going to get to my final trade, but first we're going to get to some sponsors. All right, so I've gone through four trades with you guys already. Again, I'm just trying to pitch different things, how this Jimmy Butler thing could work. Just really dive in, showing you that there's actually kind of a lot of scenarios if you can get the Timberwolves to bite on something. There's a lot of scenarios where it doesn't involve a lot of picks, and so you can maybe make the front office and Tibbs happy about this. Hopefully they figure some of this stuff out, because again, this is really messing with the Timberwolves chemistry, with the Timberwolves season. And we've already talked about how important getting off to a good start it is in this Western Conference race. It's going to be so tight at the end of the year. These wins are important. Don't think because it's 82 games, these wins aren't important. These wins are very important, and he's messing with this. It's not good to have a guy being picky with the media, being picky with his team. You're not sure when he's going to show up. It's not great. So you got to get him out of the building. I've gone through four trades already. My final trade, and this one I actually kind of think could happen. All right, so this one, Wizards-Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are sending Jimmy Butler and Gorgui. The Wizards are sending Otto Porter, Morris, Kelly Oubre Jr. to the Timberwolves. Now, here's why I like this one. First of all, Porter, you already have the Wizards complaining. You have John Wall. You saw on The Athletic this story, or at least there was, I don't know if you saw it, but there was the story on The Athletic. You had John Wall and Beal complaining about how there's specific players complaining about shots and worrying about their shots and how that's not good for the team. And then you had their coach call out Porter as far as you shouldn't be worried about your shots. You should be worried about getting back on defense, getting wins, winning as a team, being successful as a team. So Porter's out of there. They're looking at that. Maybe that helps the chemistry of the locker room. You bring Jimmy Butler in. He helps the defense. You have another elite player. Now you have three stars on that team. And traditionally, you look at these teams, three stars is kind of that goal area you have to hit if you want to be a contender in the playoffs. Wizards, you can pitch this to them as, now you're getting your third star. And yeah, you take Gorgui, but we're going to take Porter off your hands. We're going to get that contract off the books for you, and we're going to get that problem out of your locker room. We want Morris. He's going to help out our defense, and Oubre is going to really help out our second unit. Now you're getting three guys, and each one helps a different facet of your team. So I think Porter could kind of be that guy, grab some shot. He's going to need some shots, but he's going to be that shoot or run to the rim, streak to the rim. And I think that he's going to find a nice little role off of Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague's offense. Morris, I think, really helps your defense. I think he adds some grit to this team that Tibbs was looking for in Dang, in Jeff, or in Taj Gibson maybe, but wasn't really finding. I think Morris gives him that grit. And Oubre is a really nice just three-point shooting piece. I think there's some things he can do defensively, but on offense, you're really getting your money back for him. He's going to really shoot the three ball well. He's going to really add energy to that second unit. You can play him in small ball units, but I think running him and Derrick Rose together in that second unit would be really, really fun. And I think that all three of these guys you can pitch to, yeah, we're getting a couple one-year contracts, but you can talk. You can maybe consider bringing Oubre back. Or you can try and move some of these pieces. You're not locked into this deal if it doesn't work out. But there is a massive potential for this to really help your team succeed over this season. And it doesn't necessarily damage your long term. Also, you're also clearing out some cap space. Jimmy Butler off the books. I know you're bringing in that Porter contract, but Gorgui off the books. I think that there's a way that, again, you can sell this to front offices. You're not damaging the long term of this team. You could bring some of these pieces back. You're not bought into this big trade. All these guys aren't on long contracts. And you're also selling to Tibbs. This could help the team now. You're getting some grit. You're helping out that second unit. You're getting a guy who can help with the three-point shooting, help in transition. I think this appeals to both sides, and you're also getting rid of Gorgui, which is something that the Timberwolves were really aggressive about doing right away from the outset of the trade conversation so long ago before the preseason kicked off. I think that this one sneakily could maybe be in the works. But again, all of this needs to get done quickly because you're slowly decaying at this team. And the worst case scenario is that Butler is here for the next couple of months, because I think that it's just hurting this locker room more and more the longer he's on this team. All right, I'm going to take a quick second. Going to talk about Clippers, Minnesota. Tough stretch of games. They're never really in that Trailblazers games. The Trailblazer game. Warriors, they played really well with. It kind of looked like they threw everything they had at the Warriors. And then you have Butler. I'm not going to play against the Blazers. You have this team still on the road against the Clippers. A lot of stuff that's not great going into this game. I'm going to get more into this road trip tomorrow. I'm really going to dig into some of this road trip stuff tomorrow. I really want to talk about the Butler stuff today. But just quick look at the Clippers against the Timberwolves. This is one of those where, and again, you're not sure exactly, looking around information right now, you're not sure exactly even right now if the Timberwolves have Jimmy Butler for this game. So with that being the toss-up, I think this one has to be one of those games where it's just a really big Towns night. Just a really big Towns night, you know? Really, you have Boban down low at center. Tobias Harris is their power forward. I think this is one where Taj Gibson and Karl Anthony Towns can play real bully ball against this team. And then I'd really love to see the Timberwolves go a lot of small ball around Karl Anthony Towns, really make the other team decide what its poison is. Do you want to, the Clippers have to decide, do you want to go small and try and run with the Timberwolves, or do you throw a couple extra bigger guys out, give them some open looks at the three-point line, but really try and cover up Towns? I think either way, if you're the Timberwolves, you win that one, but I'd really like to see them go small ball around Towns pretty heavily for the majority of this game. I think if you're giving, really, because DeAndre is not on this team, any matchup one-on-one that you're giving Towns, even he could probably take a lot of their two-man assignments on him. But I think that any one-on-one matchup that you have on this team, like even Harrell, one of the guys who's been really good for this team, he just doesn't have the size to match up with Towns. I really love the matchup here for Towns. He's so much faster than Boban. I think that he can make him stretch out how long he has to play him. He can dash down the floor. He can pull out to the three-point line. He's going to make his defense uncomfortable. I just don't think Tobias Harris has the tools in his defensive bag to keep up with Towns either. And so there's not really a great matchup that the Clippers have to throw at Towns. I'd really love to see Towns go out for like 42 points and 18 rebounds, something like that, where he just goes crazy and they let him take 28 shots or something. Just really feed him a lot of stuff in the post. Let him take some shots outside, but mostly feed him down low. Let him get to the line, because you know that these guys are going to have to foul. They're not going to have a lot of options as they go down to stretch against Towns. Really just let him go crazy on this team. 28 or more shots at least for Towns. I'd really like to see him take advantage of this game and really control this matchup. And if that happens, Timberwolves run away with this one, if they can do that. But for times like these, when you're not sure if your best player is going to show up or not, it's hard to really bet on the Timberwolves going one way or another or what exactly is going to happen in these games. But hopefully, it's a Towns night. That's all I can say. Hopefully, it's a Towns night. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure you're going out, rating, making sure you're subscribing to the show, rate, leave a comment. Thank you so much for listening. Have a fantastic rest of your evening.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.